Go ahead.
Hello, this is the Pressure Podcast with my daddy.
Welcome to the Pressure Podcast, the definitive sports video game show, brought to you by Operation Sports. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. Well, all right. Hey, everybody. This is the Press Row Podcast for your Friday, May 1st, 2015. I can't believe it's May. You know, one of the best things about doing what I've been doing for the last 10 years now is that I've gotten to meet a whole bunch of people that make video games, people that talk about video games, people that play video games, people that have nothing to do with video games. But it's just there's just so many interesting people that I've gotten to meet and talk to. And today, I've got two of them. One of them is an old friend, and one of them is a new friend. We'll start out by welcoming back in the best graphic designer I know. And yes, he is a Seattle Seahawks fan, too, unfortunately. You can't win them all. It is my friend, Ryan Lewis. Ryan, welcome back to the show.
So I'm the new friend, right? Is that what you're trying to say? And then you've got like an 80-year-old man on the phone as well. So that's your old friend. Okay. Just making sure.
Ryan, how are you, man?
I'm phenomenal, I'd have to say. I'm really excited to be on here. I think we're going to have an excellent conversation. I'm going to say it's going to be exquisite. That's the adjective I'm going to stick with.
I like it. And we also have a new friend, new to the show. We don't get a whole lot of first-time guys on the show lately, but we do today. This is a fellow who has been part of a very successful venture called Spawn on Me. It is a podcast. It is a blog. It is a lot of different things. And he was kind enough to have me on his show a few months ago, or maybe even a little less. And I am delighted to have him on. He is Cicero Holmes. Cicero, welcome to the Press Show Podcast.
Well, thank you very much. You had me on, Rich, in spite of my Yankees beating the best team in baseball. Your New York Metropolitans.
Look, it's a long season, okay? They will meet again. I'm a little worried about my Mets. They've stumbled a little bit.
They've come back down to Earth.
Yes.
Or subterraria, wherever they actually dwell.
Yeah, they've lost two series in a row, two out of three to the Yankees, two out of three to the Marlins. They got a big series coming up with the Nationals. If they can get back on the winning track, I'll feel good. Look at this. I'm talking about Mets baseball in late April and the season. I don't feel like the season is over yet. That in and of itself is a victory, my friend.
There you go. There you go. You guys won April. I mean, that's a feat.
You get a trophy for that, right?
Yes, I think so.
Good.
Can I just share a story real quick about how I feel the Mets are right now? I don't know if any of you guys know like about track and field at all, but there's an event, the 800 meters. It's kind of like not middle distance, but it's not quite a sprint. It's two laps around the track. I had a friend that had never ran that before, but was like, you know, this is in college. And he decided that he was just going to give it everything he had. So he goes out there on the first lap, and he was like way ahead of everybody, just cruising. Ended the first lap. I'm like, maybe he's going to do it. And then probably about a quarter of the way through the second lap, he just starts dropping back, and everyone passes him, and he finishes probably close to about 30, 40 seconds after everyone had finished. And 800 talk, that is real slow. So it's not a marathon. No, wait. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Just make sure you remember that, Rich. Not the other way around.
And that friend's name was Mike Suzek.
Well, good.
So we're here tonight to talk about a whole lot of things. We're going to talk baseball. We're going to talk football. We're going to talk hockey. We're going to talk soccer. We're going to talk Joe Montana. Yes. One of the reasons that Ryan is rejoining us is he's got a very, very interesting theory on this. And it was so good, I'm like, well, we just got to have you come on and talk about that. So we're going to get into a whole bunch of stuff. But before we do that, I want to circle back to Cicero. Cicero, I mentioned you are, you produce and run the Spawn on Me podcast and blog, which is very entertaining. In fact, you know, you look at the guests that you've had on that show, and they span a really impressive list of folks. I mean, you know, you have game makers like Mike Bithell. You've got people who write about games like, Evan Narcisse. You've got folks who are video game personalities like Jeff Cannata. You've had people, other people who make games, like the fellow who made iDarb. You've had Adam Sessler. Like, tell me, how did Spawn on Me come to be, and how have you gone about sort of making it what you want it to be and getting all these different folks to come on and interact with you and dig into what they do?
Well, it's, first and foremost, let me thank you for inviting me onto the show. I am truly honored to be on the Press Row podcast. I am one of the legions of faithful fans of the Press Row podcast, and it is quite the dream come true to be sitting here and speaking to the Press Row faithful. So now that that's out of the way, I will also say that it's quite serendipitous that I'm on the show talking about the origins of the Spawn Point blog and the Spawn on Me podcast, because Spawn on Me wouldn't have existed if it weren't for both Twitch and NBA 2K. I found my co-host, Khalif Adams, who was running the SpawnPointBlog.com by himself as a gaming blog where he could write about games and from a nuanced perspective shed a different light on games back in November 15th of 2013. If you are a video game nerd such as myself, you will know that that is the launch day of the PS4, and I was sitting at home. And I wanted to check out what this whole Twitch thing on the console was all about. And I went to Twitch and found this guy streaming a game that I love, NBA. And he was playing NBA 2K14, and he was really engaging with the community. And I was like, oh, man, this guy's pretty cool. And I checked out his stuff. And then I came back and said, hey, do you need any other writers for your site? And he said, sure. We sat down and he said, I'll give you a call. That call that started, the exploratory call that was supposed to be 5 minutes turned into 2 hours. I started writing for the site right away. And my first article was about my Xbox One experience. And it was a really great article that people gravitated towards. And that was December of 2013, and at the end of December, early January, Khalif called me up and said, hey, man, I think I want to do a podcast. I said, hey, man, I think I want to do a podcast, too. And the middle of January, we started our podcast, Spawn on Me podcast, and we decided that, right off the bat, that we wanted to make sure that, we spoke about games in a very nuanced, from a very nuanced perspective, which I think, you guys do brilliantly here. But most of the video game podcasts don't do that. And the other thing that you guys do that I don't think a lot of podcasts, gaming podcasts do is speak about the nuance of video games. And, we wanted to make sure that we did that. And so that was, that was two of the things that we really wanted to accentuate. The third thing that we wanted to accentuate was that both Khalif and myself are black men with a couple of grays, but we're both black men, and we wanted to talk about games from a different perspective, and that if we were lucky enough to have guests on the show, that we would spotlight people of color within the game space, and ancillary spaces, because we didn't know about a lot of, collectively we knew five people of color that were in the gaming space, of any level of prominence, and we knew that there were more out there. We knew that there had to be more than that, than just the five that we knew out there, and we went on a mission to find them, so that not only could we spotlight them, but we could also inspire younger people that are, people of color that are marginalized people, and allow them to realize that they can follow their passions in video games. And to that end, like you said, we've been just beyond lucky to get great guests. Our very first guest was the voice actor Dave Fannoy, who was the lead voice on Telltale's The Walking Dead, the video game, and was also the voice of Hulu for a very, very long time. And, you know, I think when it came to actually getting the guests, you know, the first thing that I learned this a long time ago, you just ask, you know, and the worst thing someone can say is no. And, you know, luckily for us, people haven't said no. And when they've come, they've had a great time. And we really try to treat our guests well. We think, you know, the reason that we grab our guests is because we think that they're doing something really, really fantastic in the space. And we want other people to know about that. And we're really excited and enthusiastic to have them on. And as a result, I think they wind up evangelizing for us as much as we evangelize for them. So it's been absolutely phenomenal, an absolutely phenomenal less than year and a half.
You know, just asking is an amazing thing. I mean, Press Row would not exist if I had not taken that exact attitude, right? Because as I believe I've talked about it on the show, and I certainly have talked about it on other shows that I've been lucky enough to be asked to appear on, the only reason that Press Row, the Press Row podcast, exists is because the show I did before it got canceled. You know, I basically, you know, I was doing a show about sports video games for the site that I still write for today called Games Radar. It's called Box Score, and I was interviewing developers and interviewing, you know, different people talking about sports video games, and absolutely nobody listened to it, or at least very, very, very few people listened to it. But then when it got canceled, I had the opportunity. I reached out to Steve Noah at Operation Sports, who I developed a relationship with, and asked him if he'd be interested in something. He said yes. But I'm like, okay, well, the formula that I was working on with Games Radar isn't quite working enough. What if I ask a few people that I respect to, you know, to join the show on a regular basis? I need to ask people who are, you know, in the space, right? And developers can't, you know, come on and talk critically about other stuff. But I was like, well, what about the guys that I really like? Like, you know, Owen Good and Mike Suzek and, you know, Sumit Sarkar. And, you know, at the time that was the, and Steve, obviously, that was the original lineup. And, right. And then I started asking other people things like, you know, ESPN's Gus Ramsey, who I used to listen to on the BS Report, I could ask him. And you're so right. If you just ask people, it's amazing what things will happen. And, you know, Ryan Lewis, I mean, you and I were together with, you know, Todd Zuniga and Mike Suzek on the Four String podcast, which was, you know, the predecessor in many ways to Press Row. It is kind of amazing when you look back at where that show began, its roots in the old 1UP days, and where sort of we have all sort of gone from there. It's, when you look back, it's kind of a strange, interesting, and bizarre path that we've walked through to get right here today. But on the other hand, it's like, well, none of it would have happened if we just hadn't kept on keeping on, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah, and I think one of the things about video games, and I, in particular sports video games, that I think it, to me, there's like a, like you're talking about the community. Like there's a sense of community behind it because we all are into a very similar, we have a similar hobby. But it even gets to the point where, so Rich and I also were part of an online Madden League. And it's funny when I talk to people about this because I still have really good friends that come from that league that live nearby me, and like I'll go to their kids' birthday parties and they'll come to mine and all these, like, so it's more than just video games sometimes, in the sense that it has this sense of everyone is, you know, has this similar interest in a similar hobby. And it's just, I don't know, it's really cool. Like when you talk about Four String and 1UP and all that stuff, like that's, you know, I might not be as involved in the sports game community anymore, but I still have all those friends, and I still am interested in sports game and games, and I'm still interested in the community in general. And that's, you know, as we'll talk about on this show, is why, you know, why I'm so excited to be on here, is because there's stuff going on right now in the sports game community that is bat crazy. Sorry, Rich, you're gonna have to.
He's taking Owen's spot.
Yeah, and that's what's so funny. Like before I came on, like, oh, that's right, I can't. Like Four String, you just let her fly. But
oh yeah,
yeah. So there's a little bit of a pause there. But yeah, so we'll keep it to, how about just one or two? Maybe there'll be one more. Okay.
Well, as many people have told me, they enjoy Owen's cursing with the beeps even more than without the beeps. They think, oh, you know, they say, you know, the beeps actually make it a little better. So we can have a few. All right. So Ryan, I'm actually going to ask you a question. that Cicero asked me on his show. So, Cicero, I'm just flat out stealing some of your stuff here, man. I hope
that's all right.
Mind.
You've already stolen my guess.
That's true.
So you can steal my questions too.
That's right. So he asked me this, and I want to ask you this, Ryan. What came first for you? Was it sports or video games?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, it was sports in the sense that, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I was, you know, big into the Sonics and the Mariners and the Seahawks and University of Washington Huskies. And so I was into that stuff. But I think really where I found that deep passion for sports was from video games like Tecmo Super Bowl and games like that, where it's like you learn all the players and you kind of learn how the game works on a different level. When you're playing as a little kid, you know, it's just you go out there with your friends and you know exactly, you know what's going on. But I think with sports, it gives you with sports video games, it gives you this opportunity to know it on a level that you're probably not going to know unless you are super dedicated to that actual sport. So you can kind of get a deep level of understanding of the sport when you don't even, I mean, you're not going to be able to play. I mean, there's very few people that play like tennis and basketball and hockey and soccer and football. But when you play these games, because you can get so deep into it without as much effort as far as like, you know, just learning the game, I feel like that's how I, you know, knew all the baseball players I knew and all the football players I knew and basketball players. Like, I was interested in the sport, but it's not, I don't ever remember watching a ton of other teams play, but I could tell you, you know, like the 1991 Pirates roster just from playing Ken Griffey Jr. baseball. So, yeah, so it's really, sports came first just as a primer, but I think really to get that deep passion for sports and sports video games came from the actual games.
Cicero, same question to you.
Okay, well, you know, I guess the answer to that is yes. So
nailed it.
So there were certain games, certain sports that definitely came first. I remember as a 3-year-old sitting down, wearing my hand-me-down or gifted to me 49ers helmet. And watching football as a youngster in the late 70s, and which started my love, my everlasting and undying love for the San Francisco 49ers, and that was there, and you know I was always a big sports fan, but there were sports that I didn't really know well, much to Ryan's point, that because of sports video games, I became an aficionado of that sport, just because I understood and appreciated the nuance of the sport as a result of playing the sport of playing the video game. So sports like hockey, I grew up on Long Island during the 80s. So you know, I was naturally an Islanders fan.
Yeah, I don't think you couldn't avoid that, right? What was it? Right. 4 Stanley Cups in a row.
4 Stanley Cups. Yeah, I was. You know, I grew up maybe 4 miles away from Nassau Coliseum. So shout out to Halak. Thank you very much for your efforts, and goodbye Nassau Coliseum.
Yeah, that was a tough end.
Yeah,
to that series.
Yeah. Yeah, you will. You Nassau Coliseum, you will not be missed. That place is terrible, but you know, I digress.
It's the memories,
right? But you know, again, sports like hockey, FIFA, learning soccer. You know, Americans, we just don't play soccer, and I really started to understand the game, the sport better as a result of playing the sports video games, and even the sports that I knew well, football, baseball, and basketball, I learned them better as a result of playing the games and knew the personnel. When you wind up playing these sports video games, you get, you know, when you're a fan of a team, you know your team. But when you're a fan of the sport or you play these sports video games, you learn the league, and that's something that I don't know that I would have been afforded if I didn't have as deep a love for sports video games as I did for sports and as I do in general.
you.
So there you go. So yes.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it, because the act of participating actively in a sports video game is very different than watching a game, a real game on TV. It's different than reading a box score. You know, it's different than reading a book. Other than the obvious, right, of, yeah, I'm controlling this player, but it is very different when you're sort of operating in your own little world with these real teams and real players and crafting these real experiences, you know, in your head. And what's also funny is, you know, the age-old notion of, well, you know, there was this player that I had this great season with in, you know, in Madden 03, and yet he was terrible in the real league.
Yeah,
right.
We've all had those too. So let me ask you, and I'll start with you, Cicero, with this one. What's your, like, historically, if you look over, you know, your life playing sports video games, what's your go-to game? You know, not saying necessarily one particular year of one game, but, like, you know, of all the sports franchises out there, what's your, like, your go-to, your favorite, the one you know the most, you know, the one that at the end of the day, that's what you identify with most as a sports game?
Oh, man, that's such a tough one. That's what a Sophie's choice that is. You know, I'm so impressionable that most of the time the sports video game that is my go-to is the one that's happening in real life that's the most compelling. So right now with the NBA playoffs going on, it is NBA. I think year round right now, because the game is so good, NBA is that game, that the 2K series is just that good.
God, I love that game.
Yeah. It's, and in fact, I had to quit my GM game in order to start recording.
Okay. So, that's dedication, man. So, I understand. Yeah,
there you go. There you go. But you know, I guess it really, really does depend. I would probably be playing some playoff hockey or some NHL if the NHL game was the my career in NHL was any good, because the game itself, if you're just playing one-on-one, the game itself is brilliant. But there are too many problems to list. We don't have enough time to talk about the problems that NHL 15 presents on the current gen consoles. Having said that, during the NFL season, it is definitely Madden. During the baseball playoffs, it is definitely the show. Opening day is definitely the show. Mm-hmm. But I think year round, it is probably NBA 2K.
Ryan Lewis, same question to you. Historically, over the course of your life, what franchise or what game do you most identify as your go-to game?
I mean, I think it would have to be NCAA football, which is kind of weird because I can't go to that anymore. Right? So, well, I actually still do. It's kind of funny because I still have 14 and an Xbox, and I'll play that sometimes. I'm not going to
not really
do that. Yeah. Game. Yeah, and it's more just that sport. Usually growing up was that was kind of what I was into the most. But I think nowadays it's interesting because it's not so much the actual sport as it is the quality of the game and the ability to play that game with, you know, what's going on in my life, my schedule, that kind of stuff. I think MLB The Show and NBA 2K to me are, for whatever reason, like, the show is cool because if you're doing Road to the Show, you can go in there and you can rip off, you know, 10 games within, you know, like an hour or something like that, you know, or even more than that, just depending. And then NBA 2K, I love the My Player mode and My GM as well. And it's interesting because, I mean, basketball, I mean, I haven't been into basketball since I was in high school, probably since the Sonics left. But I think in general, I gravitate towards football because it's my favorite sport. But, I mean, man, this, I haven't picked up Madden in a long time just because we got the show and NBA 2K are so great.
So I guess that's sort of flows sort of into my next question. I'll say with you for this one first, Ryan, is what game is out there that you want to play, but you just don't because, you know, you've got a job or jobs and you've got kids and you know, other all the sorts of things that we all have going on. Is there a game out there that you're just like, you keep hearing stuff about, but you haven't played or you want to get back to it? Is there one or more of those sort of nagging in the back of your mind, like, man, if I just had an extra hour a week, I could play this?
Oh, man. Out of the park baseball or like some kind of sim management game, something that would like take over my life because I'm like, you know, like trying to trade for Zach Greinke or, you know, get Clayton Kershaw on my team or something like that. So I'm leveraging my whole minor league farm team to, I don't know. That is the case. Like, I've never really got too into those kinds of games just because I do have a little bit of fear that I'd get too into them. Mm-hmm. And, because, you know, I mean, regular console games like Madden, I tend to do that kind of stuff, even though those modes aren't very deep in those games. Like, I'll just, like, do a fantasy draft and, like, sim some games just so I can get to the next draft so I can, like, build my team. So I think in general, like, those ones that are kind of more of a time suck where it's, like, you can't get that necessarily that instant gratification, but it's more that long-term kind of strategy building up. I think those are, like, Out of the Park Baseball or, like, Football Manager. If they made an NFL type game for that, like, I would probably leave my family and, live in like some like remote place in like New Hampshire that just has Wi-Fi. And that's like all I do. I just dedicate my life to like building my roster.
So same question to you, sister. What's that game or is there one that's out there? You hear about it. You think it's probably really good. You want to get to it, but just because of the demands of life, you're just not. What is that?
Well, so when you first said the question, I thought about current games, and the answer is FIFA, just because I just don't have the time to add another sports game specifically into my life. But listening to Ryan's answer, the obvious and only correct answer is NFL head coach.
Oh, yeah.
because that game with Tony Dungy on the cover was amazing. It is such a shame that it didn't resonate with fans the way that they really wanted to. They wanted it to, and EA delivered kind of a broken game, and it was like right before you know, online patching really became the thing that it is today. Mm. And they could have kind of fixed it on the back end. But man, was that game addictive. Just, I mean, for all the things that you just said, Ryan, it was everything that you wanted it to be. Or, you know, all the management stuff in the middle of the week, and designing the plays and going in and doing the drafting and all, you know, all of that stuff. It was absolute heaven and hell mixed into one.
Which is so funny because I am a let's go and play the games.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the GM. I don't want to manage the cap. I don't want to do anything. I'll have the computer do it. I just want to play the game.
That's
if I may go on a tangent just for a second. When I was 13, I knew what I wanted to do with my life. It wasn't podcasting, even though this is a love. It was to become a sports agent. I was sitting down
just
and
Jerry
I was,
Maguire.
Right. No, actually, and this was before Jerry Maguire was a curse word for me. Because then I knew that it was starting to hit critical mass. But I was sitting down and I was reading a newspaper. I was reading the Newsday, and I had just seen that Patrick Ewing signed a new deal with the Knicks, and the deal was, you know, it was ungodly at that moment. It was, you know, it was like 7 years for $32 million or something like that. And he was making, you know, $6 million a year. I'm bad at math, everyone. And they said, they talked about his agent, David Falk. And I was like, wait a minute, I know that name. And I realized, like, oh, wait a minute, David Falk got 10% of that. He's his agent. He got 10% of whatever, you know, whatever the contract was. I'm like, wait a minute, he's Michael Jordan's agent and he's Scottie Pippen's agent. And he's, you know, he's like the agent of like six superstars in the league. So what does he do? He schmoozes and he negotiates contracts. I can do that. Not only can I do that, I like thinking, I think I would love doing that. And yeah, so that was the pathway that I wanted to set myself down. And then when college started, I didn't leave for college until 93. And right before then, I think Jerry Maguire either hit or what was happening was that I was seeing lots of curriculums that were delving into sports management. And I knew that there was that time was going to be short. And alas, life happens. But now I'm here. Now I'm here with you guys podcasting.
Perfect.
So
love it. There Ryan, you were about to say something too, I think.
I was just going to say, if I ever make it onto the PGA Tour like I'm planning to, hey, if you want to represent me, man, if you can get me a better deal than Rory McIlroy's agent, then I'm all about it. He's just on some crap video game. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right. Hey, Ryan Lewis presents the golf club.
Exactly. They're looking for they need a cover athlete.
There you go.
Yeah, so Rich, I just wanted to kind of relate to people. When you say that you really are all about the game, Rich in our Madden League would have he'd have proxies like do deals for him.
It's true.
It's so funny. He'd like email me and be like, "Hey, is this a good deal? I don't want to do it." Like,
100%, which is true.
Which is funny because that's like I love that part like almost as much or if not more than actually playing the game sometimes. So
amen, brother.
It's great though that there are, you know, you have those different kind of options. So, you know, it's like that's what's kind of cool about it. Like you have all these different types of players. Like some people, you know, want to just play, you know, Mutt, and some people want to do fantasy drafts and just dork out with that kind of stuff. So right. Something for everybody.
Well, that leads perfectly. Man, this is like I planned it almost. That leads perfectly to my next question. Are the games, because the main, you know, the console sports games, the big guys, are all huge games. They've all got large single-player mode. They've all got some variation of Ultimate Team, which is a large mode in and of itself. They've all got various incarnations of online, some better than others, but they all exist. Have these games gotten too big? Are they too intimidating, or is it kind of like what you're saying, Ryan? Is it like, well, yeah, they're big, but by being so big, they give a wide variety of experiences for people that you know that you wouldn't otherwise get? Are they too big or not? Ryan Lewis, your thoughts on that first.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly couldn't tell you if someone had never played any of these games and came into them, they'd probably scare the hell stuff out of them. I don't know, man. We're not gonna beat that one. it would probably shock them to the point that they would poop in their pants. Because there's just they're really
go. Yeah, that's good.
It is overwhelming. I mean, like, so just an example of that, just kind of anecdotally, I'm into baseball. I like it, but it's just more of a kind of a casual sport for me. I'm not like super into all the different things like I am in football, where I'm like, you know, I'm thinking about taking off work on Friday so I can watch like day two of the draft, you know, so I can see like rounds two and three, you know, like I want to really check that out. But with baseball, like, I mean, I couldn't tell you like half the stuff. Like, I know that they have a player draft, but it's got like 50 rounds, and like the majority of those people will never see a major league game. Like, so I don't really know much about those kinds of like the details of like the management of baseball. But so when I go into MLB The Show and I go into the franchise mode, like I'm a franchise type of a, like I'll do that in NBA 2K, I'll do it in FIFA, I'll do it in Madden. But like when there's a whole guide on like all these different transaction dates and different designations for players, like when you put them on the DL and those kinds of things, I'm like, dude, that just shows you like it's deep enough for the people that want to go deep with that. But for me, like it's easy to avoid that because I can just like, all right, I'm going to go play, you know, Road to the Show. Yeah. And I don't have to worry about any of that. So I think that the majority of games are not like they do offer something for people that aren't looking for something that's super deep.
Cicero, what do you think?
All right. Well, I apparently I also have a future in politics because the answer is yes. Yet again, so yes, the games are, they're huge, and yes, they are intimidating to people that are new to the games, and you know, especially if they're new to the controllers and new to the consoles themselves. But also, yes, they provide lots of options for the way that you want to play. And again, this is a generalization. The really good games, the tentpole sports franchises out there, really give everyone a way to play the game that they, you know, in a way that makes them most satisfied. So it does all of those things, and for whatever reason, the good games can be all things to all people. Much like Ryan, when I play baseball, I only play Road to the Show. I am a franchise guy. Obviously the business of sports is something that really gets my motor running. But trying to go through a Major League Baseball draft is kind of weird, because they have at a certain point they have a hopscotch round, and then is that what it's called?
Yeah. Like they get out and they literally just everyone starts playing hopscotch. I would totally believe that too.
Why not? I mean, it makes as much sense as the Rule 5 does anyway. So like, why not? Why not? You know, and it is arbitration, and there's all sorts of different things going that sit in there. When you have to get lawyers that aren't your agent involved in order to settle disputes. As a normal practice, I'm just kind of confused by it. Like, let's call the whole thing off. Baseball really confuses me, but I love Road to the Show. If I am not playing now that the my career in Madden or whatever they're calling it now, personal player connected franchise. Now that that's kind of – it's really kind of vanilla, all I play in Madden is connected franchise. Give me the draft. Mm-hmm. Give me the scouting when the scouting actually works. Let me move my team. Let me do all of those things. I love it. You know, give it to me all day, all night. And thanks to you, Rich, I'm now playing the My GM mode in NBA 2K15, and I really hate you for it. I really, really hate you for it. Oh, man, it is so, so good.
So
good.
Here's another question, and this is – I'm really interested to hear both of you guys what you do this. Now, when you're in the game, okay, so you're playing an actual game, on the field. Are you the guy who takes the coach's suggested plays? Are you, if the catcher says throw a fastball low, do you throw a fastball low? Like, do you kind of let the game sort of not dictate but heavily influence what you do? Or are you the, no way, man, I am doing what I want to do. I don't care what you think I should do. I'm taking over and I'm not paying attention. Cicero, which way do you tend to go?
I like to believe that the guys that are making the game know the sport better than I do, so I listen to them. So if I'm a pitcher, I almost always listen to the catcher. Catchers love me when I'm pitching. so as long as I hit the location, but when there are times when I know that location is bad. And I'll do it once and let someone groove a nice one. And then I have carte blanche to ignore them. in Madden, they did the thing where they've got the groups of plays.
Yeah.
The quick selection plays. I like that. I like that. And, I use those. And when I'm playing basketball, I let the coach or the point guard call the plays. And I run those plays. They're diagrammed. I follow them. I don't go outside of the line. I stay within the lines. I shoot with the guy they tell me to. And that will lead us to victory because I trust Derek Fisher.
Ooh, I was with you up until that part right there. And
so was the rest of Nick Nation.
Ryan Lewis, do you do what Ryan Lewis wants to do, or do you do what the coach wants you to do?
Oh, man, I do what I want.
I think it's interesting because I think that NBA 2K is probably like the to me they're the like the trendsetter, the shining star with when it comes to this, just in the sense of like with my player. It actually is part of the game, like where the coach will give you different objectives to accomplish inside of the game. And I want that in every game. Like I want in MLB The Show, I want to go up there and Road to the Show and have the coach be like, you know, all right, you need to pull the ball or you need to bunt or you need to, you know, these like those kinds of objectives, I think just give you, they're like kind of little micro games inside of the game. So if that were the case, I would absolutely do that in every game. But really, it really only comes down to NBA 2K and Road to the Show. I really don't have that opportunity in that mode. But Madden, the only thing I'll say about Madden is like I don't think I've ever found that their defensive play calling will give me anything but just get thrashed, basically. Like I feel like it might be better this year, but I don't think it is. Like I just since like probably Madden 12 or 11, when I tried to do it, when they started doing what was the name of the thing? It was like. Like play call, or they had some name for like picking your or giving you smart plays to do, and they would never like line up
game flow, right?
Wasn't it? Game flow, yeah, there
game
we go.
Flow.
Yeah, so game flow, and I'm like, okay, game flow on offense. I was like, okay, this is cool, like it kind of gives me, you know, I don't have to be creative, I can just kind of do what they do, and I'll just go with it. So I'll do that sometimes, but on defense, I feel like if I do that, I'm gonna get murdered. Like, I don't know what formation I'm coming out in, it will just be like, oh, yeah, you're gonna do a cover two man. I'm like, sweet, am I nickel, dime? Like, what's going on here? Like, and so I come out there, and I'm not matched up with the offensive formation that comes out there, and I just get worked. So
yeah, well, they come out with five wide, and you're in the 4-6, and you know everything is fine.
Great day. I'm just like, yeah, dude, what do I care, man? I'll put this linebacker on this slot receiver and just let it fly. Like, I don't, dude. I'll put my defensive ends on like one of my receivers. Let's do it.
No problem.
Yeah, whatever.
Ryan Lewis, if your team is no good in the real world, does that make you more or less likely to play that sports game? You know, of the sport of that team that's no good, or you know, and. You probably also with the Sonics can take that to another level. If the team moves, like if it's that kind of a depressing of a situation, does that influence your enjoyment of your desire to play the game more or less? Like, how does the real world impact your desire to play and then, you know, continue to play a particular sports game?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of weird because you'd think – I think people that are really, really into their teams for the most part are like, you know, if my team's not good, it's not as fun or, you know, those kinds of things. I've just never been like that. Like ever since I was a little kid, like I was always into, you know, the Seattle sports teams. But like I was never like I need to play with that team, and I'm still not like that. Like I'll do like a, you know, Madden franchise with the Seahawks, or I'll do like a, you know, an MLB franchise with the Mariners. But when it comes down to it, like when I used to play, you know, Griffey baseball, I loved the Red Sox and I loved, or not the Red Sox, the White Sox.
Oh, okay.
They had like, you know, Frank Thomas and Tim Raines and all those guys. But in basketball, it's like, I don't have a team. So it's like, I'll do whatever. I'm just like, what team looks interesting to me? Like I'm playing as like the Timberwolves. Like, you know, I'm like, I don't have it. Like, I don't care. So I just go based on different things there. So it really doesn't affect the game that much. Like, you know, the Seahawks win the Super Bowl and it's like everyone uses them online. Like I don't play with them other than you know, I'll do like one franchise with them when I first get the game, but I just like these sports and I like, you know, kind of these cool teams and like cool players on other teams. So yeah, it doesn't really affect me with games.
Cicero, how does the real world performance of your favorite teams influence your enjoyment of or desire to play the correlating sports game?
So my desire to play the game with my team is directly proportional to how long it's been since that team has won a championship. So in the NBA 2K series, I absolutely must make my way to the Knicks. When I'm doing my GM, I must play as the Knicks so that at some point in my lifetime, I can actually see the Larry O'Brien trophy being hoisted by New York Knicks players.
There you go.
I think it's the only way I'll be able to do it. In other sports, it really is less important. You know, as a 49er fan, I've been spoiled. As a Yankees fan, I've been spoiled. So I feel less obligated to, you know, kind of Carmelo Anthony my way to my favorite team. But it is always sweeter when my favorite team wins it all. But in my last couple of connected franchises in Madden, I went for the challenge. I didn't play with the Niners because, you know, the Niners were great. And I went with, in Madden 25, I did a connected franchise with the Jets. And then last year in Madden 15, I did a connected franchise with the Raiders. Oh. I moved them to L.A., and they were pretty phenomenal. I got DeSean Jackson to come over.
Nice.
He's good. He's really good at football.
Yeah.
He'll be a hometown boy, right? Like, that's, there you go. Comes to L.A., he's like, yeah, dude, I'll go play.
And that's exactly what happened. I signed a really nice contract. I gave him – I overpaid for him and gave him no signing bonus. So when he got really bad, I could trade him away or See? Just cut him.
Yeah, that's some GN ninja stuff right there, dude. That's
there it is.
I love thinking about that kind of stuff, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting. We've spent quite a bit of time talking about, you know, the different ways that we play these games. I think the darling mode of of many people these days is the single player sort of story mode that, you know, sure. NBA 2K has been doing fairly well in the last few years. You know, we have seen certain examples of this years ago. The Sony NBA game had a very, you know, very focused it was very focused on the story. The game itself was terrible, but the story was right. Interesting. You know, we all have, you know, we used to talk about all the time on Four String, you know, Fight Night Champion.
Really, Fight Night Prison.
Yeah, Fight Night Prison, exactly. The really interesting, interesting and shockingly, especially for EA, shockingly, like, gritty and rough story mode. You know, we've had the recent announcement, or I guess not announcement, no, but the recent information has come out, you know, that Spike Lee apparently is going to be pretty involved in some fashion, which we are assuming is, you know, furthering a story mode of some sort in NBA 2K16. Now, we all know that Ultimate Team drives the bus now revenue-wise and is going to get a lot of focus, and as well it should. I mean, if these modes... in some ways, I believe, fund the existence of these games. But on the other hand, that's not as appealing to the masses as perhaps a different way to experience a sports game without having to learn all of the controls and all of the plays and all the players to be able to play a sports game. How far are we going to go down this path of offering a individualized story? How far do you think it goes? How far do you want to see it go, Cicero?
You know, I guess it really depends on whether or not we can get the sports franchises and the publishers to renegotiate the licensing contracts, and we can start getting games as a service. If we can get games as a service, then I think they can spend time highlighting the individual types of games, the game types for the game. So we can, you know, they can have a team that's dedicated purely to the Ultimate Team types. And then they can have a team that's dedicated purely to the single player RPG type elements, the My Player, the My Careers, whatever that may be. And those portions of the game can release them on different schedules as the teams develop them. I definitely think that if we can start to see games as a service, then that will help to allow us to see the games become more specific. But as it currently stands, the Ultimate Team is going to take over, and I think we're going to wind up having things like Madden. Maybe Madden does concentrate on the franchise mode for 16. We are spoiled, I think, by the team over in 2K, the Visual Concepts team that works on the 2K series, because they try to outdo themselves year in and year out with their story mode and with all the different modes that they add. Maybe the guys over at Sony San Diego will take a cue from any of the teams and kind of revamp and add a little spice, a little hot sauce to the road to the show. I don't know if that will happen or if that can happen until these guys are kind of unshackled from the yearly release programming and coding cycle.
Ryan, how far do you think this may or may not go, over the next couple, 2 or 3 years? Do you think 2 years from now you'll see virtually all of the big boys have some sort of narrative-driven story mode, or do you think this sort of remains sort of the domain of NBA 2K?
Well, I think next year we're going to see MLB The Show get a sponsorship from Tapatio. For sure, get some of that sweet hot sauce up in there. I totally agree, though. Like, I think it's hard to say. Like, I think we'll eventually start to see that, because I think that, like you said, it's the darling mode. I think that there's a big enough group of people that might not even play that mode a ton, but at least it has that notoriety of, like, hey, look at this unique mode. I mean, if it is true that Spike Lee with NBA 2K is going to be working on a story mode, if that's his tie-in with the game, I mean, that's awesome. I mean, that's about as big as it gets, right? So it's like they're
totally
upping the,
agree. 100%.
So they're upping the bar there so high that it's like, are the other franchises even going to try? And I think they will. And I think Cicero is right in the sense that Road to the Show is kind of like the low-hanging fruit there. Like, they do need, like, so, you hit for the cycle and, the announcers are like, don't even say anything, or like, it gives you a little thing, like, after you get your points, and it's like, you did that. Like, wow. I mean, there should be like some huge, like, event when that happens. And that's what I like about the 2K mode. It's not just the cinematics, but it's like, when you go up against James Harden and he's like, talking trash to you, right? And like, it just makes you get into the game more. So it's like Road to the Show, if they could do that, like when you're in the minor leagues and there's like a guy that you're like, that's like talking trash to you, that's like a pitcher or something like that from a rival team or something like that, or you get called up and something happens and like you get injured or something, like where some of it's scripted and maybe some of it isn't, like I think that would be the easiest to do in Road to Show. Like, Madden has such a far way to go. FIFA has, like, I mean, it's not even close to having anything like that. And really what you're talking about is, like, these developers would need to basically build an engine to do that where it has these cinematics and it has some kind of a scoring system that ties in with how you do to make certain events happen. And then once they build out that framework, then it's really just about adding content, and maybe they're adding some other mechanics to it. But, you have to do that initial upfront investment. And when you do, that's why NBA 2K is going to be so far ahead of everybody, because they've already made that investment. And so now it's just, well, let's bring Spike Lee in. Like, all right, next year we're going to bring, like, Quentin Tarantino, and, like, we're going to bring in all these actors. Gosh. Like, what I mean? Like, how do you up that, So that's,
Well, all right, Ryan, you and I have had a couple of interesting conversations, and I'm not even going to set this up other than to say you have gone down the Joe Montana football 16 rabbit hole. So take us with you and let's see where this goes.
Well, first of all, Rich, I'm not even sure that might not be the game name of the game. Like, it might be Joe Montana Football Rabbit Hole 16. We don't know. Like, it could be. And I'm going to secure that domain just in case. Well, first of all, before I really get into this, like, I actually want to. So if you guys can just give me your opinions, like, take away that OS post, take away that whole thing. Try not to think about that. Looking at what you've seen from the game, like what you've seen, like as far as like screenshots, or maybe you've looked at some Twitter or anything like that, outside of that OS post, what do you think the game is? Like, what do you think that game is going to be? And like, maybe what do you, when do you think it will release? Like, what are your thoughts on it?
Go ahead, Cicero.
You know, it's not licensed, so who cares?
Is that really, you just draw the line? You're like, it's destiny.
Right. I mean, it's you know, football, like, they, you know, everyone's tried it. And unless, you know, kind of, I guess, kind of to call back to what we were talking about before, unless they're going to not use licensed players, but spend a lot of time adding story elements, then, you know, unlicensed football is not fun. I'm sorry. I love football. I really do. And I love Joe Montana. I'm a 49ers fan. But I don't want to play with Joe Montana and generic guys.
Yeah.
Like, you know, unless there's something cool and compelling happening off the field, who cares?
Yeah. I mean, I'm very practically oriented with this stuff. I know I've spoken about it here before. And I completely understand, by the way, why people would be very excited about the potential of a new AAA football game, whether it's licensed, whether it's not. Just the concept of that, it gets a lot of people very excited because there's a lot of people who play sports games. There's a lot of people who love Madden. There's a lot of people who do not love Madden. So, and we all want competition, right? I mean, everybody that likes sports games wants competition, whether we play them or not. It's better to have more than less. On the other hand, me personally, I'm very, very, very interested in something that I can play now. Like, I'm kind of the opposite of, I think, a lot of people who participate in the world of video games, in that there's this very much a culture of what's next and what's coming versus what can I play now. So until and unless there's actual information, I don't care. And it's not that I don't care about Joe Montana 16. It's like I don't care about anything. Yeah, sure, it's nice. I know people are making games, but me personally, I'm very interested in what I can play now, or if a game's coming out that we know in 30 days or 60 days, I'm very interested in talking to the people making that game about what they're doing. But like, unless something is real and tangible to me personally, I got more than enough real stuff that I can do. Now, having said that, do I want Joe Montana 16 to exist in a AAA form that will make people excited? Of course I do. But until there's something to actually react to or analyze, I'm not really, you know, doesn't hit me personally. But Ryan, that is not the same with you.
Well, no, I mean, it is in some ways, but in some ways I've dabbled in video game development, and I've done it enough to know it's very difficult to do, and that there's something to be said about talking about doing it. And there's something to be said about, you know, before your game's developed or before the game's completely finished, like getting excited about, like, isn't it going to be cool when, kind of a thing. And I think anybody who's taken on any kind of project of any magnitude has had that same feeling where it's like, you know, I like working on this, but I'm also very excited for this thing to be finished, and I'm very excited for this thing to be, you know, this awesome thing, you know, fully finished kind of a deal. And so I think the reason why I want to get your guys' takes on it outside of that OS post is because I feel like the majority of the reason why this game is getting so much hype, like at least in the sports game community, probably like a more kind of a niche part of the sports gaming community, but why it's getting so much hype is because this Operation Sports post came out, and it's basically generated the whole storyline for this game. And there's two people that are kind of the faces of this game, which would being Joe Montana and Damon Groh. And neither one of them has done anything to deny or combat any part of that post. And if anything, I would argue that they've only maybe incited it a little bit more with things like Joe Montana tweeting like, oh man, I'm in Seattle. I love being on the Microsoft campus. You know, it's so big. Like, to me, it adds a sense of like, to me, it's like almost makes me nervous because if I think TJ had said on the show before, and I totally agree with this, if it doesn't live up to what's in that post, like, I think people will still be maybe somewhat on board, but like, it's going to be heartbreaking to people because there is a large majority of those that niche sports gaming community that is 100% all in. This post is 100% correct. We're getting 2K, you know, 2K16. We're getting Microsoft publishing it. We got, there's a story mode, like all this stuff. And I'm just like I'll kind of go through some of the details here, but the more I look at that post and the more I look at kind of what I see out there as far as evidence, I mean, the odds of even half of that being true, just they don't look good. Do not look good. So I don't know, Rich, like where you want me to start with this or what you guys know about it or if you guys have questions about like kind of where you want to start.
I want you to start with the email thread when you're like, hey, oh, by the way, dude, I know that you're dubious on Joe Montana Football 16, but check this out. And you can pretty much pick it up from right there.
Sure. Okay, so there's a couple things. Like, I wanted to kind of talk about, like, okay, what do we know? Like, what's at least moderately confirmed? And by that, I mean Damon Groh has and when I say Damon Groh, he's – I guess if I had to say what he was, he would be, like, the executive producer of the game. Like, I think in some capacity he does – programming on it or some level of development on it, but he's also kind of the face of the game. He's the person who interacts with the community. He's really the only person that we know besides Joe Montana, 100% sure, yes, I'm working on this game. The other people that are involved in this game, who we think it is and who there's very strong evidence that it is a company called Airship Images, and they are out of Blackpool, England. Or Lytham, England, I guess. I'm not much of an English geography aficionado, so like, I couldn't really tell you if it's Blackpool or Lytham or something. I don't know. But anyway, so the guy who runs that studio is a guy named Joe Harford, and he did assets for games like Forza Horizon 2, and Rise, Son of Rome. So those are all Microsoft exclusive, Microsoft right. Studios games, right? So that's obviously adding fuel to the fire that Microsoft is a publisher here. Now, the reason why we think that Joe Harford is and this Airship Images team is working on the game is not only because on their Facebook they talk about that they're working on this game, but also Damon Groh, he tweeted a picture of a mocap session, and it was a picture of a man who was on a screen that was remoting in who is Joe Harford. I mean, it looks exactly like him. If it's not him, then it's just some amazing coincidence. But he said, this is our art director, basically, in the tweet. And he's talking about Joe Harford. And then there's another man in the tweet, and his name is Chris Middleton. So if you look Chris Middleton up, that's where this thing gets even more interesting. So Chris Middleton is and he's supposed to be the game director. That's what the tweet said. He worked with Damon Groh making Facebook games at his previous company, which I believe was Rocket Ninja, I think is the name of the company, and possibly yes. I think he worked with him at CrowdMob. But you look at Chris Middleton and you look at his background, and he is an anime enthusiast, runs a Tumblr for anime backgrounds. Just like Joe Harford, he's also they're both great artists. Like if you look at their portfolio, they both are great artists. But the interesting thing about Chris Middleton as well is 2 years ago he had a Kickstarter that was on Kotaku, and it was an interactive zombie comic book. So not someone where you're like, who's going to direct my AAA football game, who's going to be the director? And then at the same time, your art director, amazing artist as well, his experience is in 3D modeling, and most of his art is more like, how would I explain it? I mean, he did Rise, Son of Rome, he did stuff for Forza, so it's more that style. Neither one of them would I say, like, and not knowing their full backgrounds, they might be super into American football. But you look at that and you're like, huh, that's interesting. The art director, game director, and you look at something like Madden where it's like, the majority of those guys, like some of them played college football, like a lot of them are, tweeting about their teams all the time. So that's some interesting things. So like, what are your guys' thoughts just hearing those couple facts? Like what does that bring to the table? Like what does that make you think?
Go ahead, Cicero.
Well, I will refer back to my previous statement. If it doesn't include licensed players.
Oh, man. This is going to be an exciting discussion. You're just going to be like, I will refer back to.
Right. Who cares? Who cares? I mean, like, all right. So this part is cool. Like, I will never look at someone and say, oh, because you did this thing that was completely removed from this other thing, you know, because you picked apples, you have no ability to pick oranges. That's not going to, you're not going to hear Cicero Holmes say that. Because, you know, to this day, I still think that the best Batman on the silver screen was, he previously played Beetlejuice. So, you know, that's an old man reference for everyone. Michael Keaton was the best Batman. So, I don't doubt that these guys have the tools and the mindset to go ahead and produce a really good playing football game that looks really good. Maybe because this guy has a background in anime, we'll get some Super Saiyan stuff. You know, maybe someone's power level can raise to 9,000 and they'll be like Thunderbolts and you know, Kamehameha's or something like that while they're playing games. But, you know, maybe that would make me pay attention. But if someone is just running around and Joe Montana hands off to running back 29 or passes to tight end 82, sorry. You know, have a good day.
Oh, man. It's so funny because it's like that is like going to be like the first actual gameplay footage we see. It's going to be Joe Montana handing off to number 29 and then he does Kamehameha and right. Thunderbolts come out. Like, we're giving him too many ideas. Yeah, right. But, well, so we know, I mean, you can look at this, that the one screenshot that we've seen, you can look at the one little mocap demo that we saw, and you can tell, though, they're going for a straight sim angle on this. Yeah. This is not going to be an arcade game, but it's that's another thing. And I agree with you. Like, just because someone, you know, does anime, or just because someone is like does 3D models of goblins or whatever, doesn't mean that they can't make an amazing looking football game. And to kind of further that notion, the head of Epic Games, the people who make the Unreal Engine. His name is Mark Ryan. He tweeted, I believe this was actually not too long ago, maybe a few weeks ago, that he said, I just saw a football game built on the Unreal Engine, and he says in parentheses, NFL style, and I think that was just, you know, to differentiate between, you know, European football, right? Or world football, really. I guess we're the only ones that don't call it football. But so basically, I just saw a football game made with the Unreal Engine. He said, it looks better than any NFL game that I've ever seen. And so he has a vested interest in the game looking good, obviously, because he's trying to sell licenses for the Unreal Engine. But it does bring up the point that this game has been shown to people. This game has been demoed. According to Damon Groh's Twitter, during Super Bowl week, he was out demoing the game. So there's some playable version of this game that exists, and that, well, at least makes some.
I'll interrupt you. A demo does not mean playable. A demo could be a video. It could be, you know, PowerPoints. The word demo could be used in many different ways. So I would not assume there's anything playable. I'm not saying there isn't, but I just, you know, demo could mean different things to different people.
Well, you're right. And here's the thing with demo. So one of the big parts of the Operation Sports post was that the game had been demoed, and this is where kind of all the hyperbole comes out about how Madden's going to look like a PlayStation game and all this kind of stuff. And that whole area of the post, that whole little part where they're talking about how, you know, how amazing it's going to look, made me kind of look at, okay, if I were someone that wanted to troll the internet in like this major, major way, what I would do is I would look what's been given about the game so far, like what's been revealed about the game. And you look at like everything in that post, and I'm pretty sure every single thing in that post you could deduce from little hints that had been given up until that point. That post was done at the end of March. And if you look at Damon Groh's, Joe Montana's, and just the Twitter that's been – or anything that's been kind of tweeted about the game up until that point, they have hints about Microsoft – they have hints about 2K with like the image being tweeted, you know, by, I think it was by TJ or whatever. But that's been.
Yes, it was by TJ, which was fantastic in that it got retweeted by Joe Montana, who then unretweeted it. That whole thing was just spectacular.
but that's what I'm saying. Like, you look at any of those things, like all those points, like 2K is involved. Okay, well, that's something that you could have, you know, like pointed out. Every single point to there. You could make up and someone could look back and say, oh yeah, I found this tweet and that makes sense. And Joe Montana, I mean, the argument you could have against that is like, okay, well, like Damon Groh and Joe Montana haven't come out and said, yeah, guys, you know, this game's going to be great. Not going to have a story mode. You know, 2K is not involved. Like, if it were me making the game, that would be like, I would come, even if I'm not going to give out anything about the game, I'd say, yeah, those things are not true, but this game is going to be amazing. Just to make it so that, like, you know, when you release this game or if you release this game or whenever it happens, you're not releasing it. And basically the majority of people that were like 100% all on board are like, wait a second, where's my 2K Football 16, you know? Like, because that's, unless it lives up to that hype in that post, like, that's basically kind of what the feeling I feel is going to be like.
Well, I personally feel like they have taken PR lessons from the one and only Rex Ryan. these guys are going to, you know, at the podium, they are world beaters. No one can beat them. They will go 16-0. No one will gain any positive yardage against them. No one will ever score a point because they're just that damn good. And the reality is never that great. And, you know, I think that when it's all said and done, that we will enjoy the press and the speculation, much, much more than we will enjoy the game.
So go ahead, Ryan.
No, I was going to say, yeah, it's possible that that's, what were you going to say, Rich?
Well, I was just going to ask you, Ryan, so what do you think happens? Where does this go based upon what you have deduced?
Well, okay, so here's two things to kind of understand. And also, I actually kind of wanted to share just a couple more little details that are somewhat scandalous.
Sure.
Before I get into that.
I feel like I'm listening to Serial right now.
I'm going to take that as a compliment. You know, it's kind of a funny thing because you go and you're looking for little Easter eggs here and there. So this whole thing, at least if you believe the kind of the story surrounding this whole thing spawned from Damon Groh living, I believe, in the Millennium Towers where Joe Montana lives. And Joe Montana wanted to get back into making a video game. And so people in his building said, yeah, go talk to this guy. He's worked on video games. And Damon Groh has quite an extensive history with video games, both making social video games and also making he has this huge project that he did where he built these he wanted to make an RPG that would rival World of Warcraft. So he's an ambitious dude, to say the least, and talented too. I mean, like, if you look at a lot of the stuff that he's done, it's like pretty amazing. Like Crowd Mob was backed by Eduardo Saverin, who's the Spider-Man guy from the Facebook movie, right? That was who backed that. Anyway, so it started off with them, and he said, okay, let's make a game. And then their story goes that they couldn't get it together, so hey, let's make an app. So this app that they were going to make or that they worked on was called IMFL, and they had a TechCrunch interview where they showed a quick demo of the app. This app was supposed to come out in 2013, before the 2013 football season. If you look for this, it never came out. The website that was put together for it looks like it was just thrown together to generate emails, basically, or to, you know, as a lead gen kind of thing to grab emails for the beta. But no meat to it, nothing about the game. It was just, you know, give us your email for a beta tester situation. And the thing with beta testers with iOS back in 2013, you couldn't really do it on a huge scale. Like Apple would only give you 100 devices that you could use to do beta testing. So unless you did some kind of local beta testing, you couldn't, like, you know, if you sent your email and you lived in, you know, New York or something like that, you couldn't beta test for something that was in California because they'd only have so many licenses for different devices that you could do it. So they were going to have beta testing, all that stuff. Game never came out. But the summer before the game was supposed to come out, they started a company called Social Mobile Sports LLC. And if you look at Chris Middleton, the game director, if you look at his LinkedIn profile, it says he's the creative director of Social Mobile LLC. So it's like they, on some level, I feel like they weren't either that game got too complex, that app that they're working on, and they just said, you know what, we're going to work on the full game. Let's keep it under wraps. And so they did. It looks like they've done kind of things to cover their tracks with that kind of thing. The other thing that I was going to bring up that's kind of interesting in that same vein is Joe Montana came out with another app, or was going to come out with another app, just this last fall. And he had a developer develop this. It was called Joe Montana Fantasy Football. And it was a quiz game that had football elements to it. But that only got to the beta. It got to the beta and it just shut down. Nothing happened with it. And that was developed by a British developer. And if you look at the IMFL demo that they showed, when they spell the word defense, they spell it with the British spelling. So
with
they have
a C?
With a C. So they have all these ties to these UK app developers and developers. So it's not unreasonable to think that they have a bigger team than this Airship Images team working on the game over there, because Airship Images only has 6 employees, which is something people are not talking about. If you're talking about 6 employees making a AAA football game and you've ever stayed around to look at the credits of Madden, you're nowhere close to being able to make a game to compete with Madden with 6 people. And even if they had contractors, which I believe that they said that they have about 6 contractors that they use from time to time, 12 people is not going to get that game done. So my point being with all of that is there's either more people working on the game, like another studio or another, you know, who knows, some other team somewhere working on this game, or they've got a really tall order to fill with, you know, like 14 people working on this AAA game, basically.
And we all know that's not going to happen, right? Go ahead.
So I hate to feed the beast here, Rich, but Phil Spencer sent out a tweet about a week ago saying that at their E3 press conference, that they will have lots of Microsoft exclusive IP to show at their press conference, that they are focusing on Microsoft exclusives during their presser. And, this feeds right along, you know, right into that. It sounds like this is a Microsoft game. It sounds like a mistake.
Well, okay, but that raises but that, you know what, like, so that's the kind of thing though where there's just enough of this kind of feeling of like, huh, that's kind of interesting, like there's just enough of that to keep this thing, to give it legs still. And it would shock the hell out of me if they came out and they said, yeah, you know, Joe Montana Football, it's releasing next month and it's got the NFL license, like I would be floored if that happened, because from what I've seen, that does not seem even remotely possible. But there's just enough of something that I can't completely suspend all disbelief. Like, I can't, like, get rid of everything. Like, I've got a little piece of me that says, like, hey, maybe that's true. I mean, the NFL license, like, that just seems impossible to me. Like, it seems impossible that EA would sign a contract that allowed another team to put out a NFL football game. And it seems even more impossible, as Rich, as you and Brian had noted, that the NFL would let them put that game out a month before Madden. Like think about the crap storm, I'll say, that would happen if you're EA and, like, the NFL's like, hey guys, guess what? Like, you know, don't worry, you guys still have PlayStation, you're cool. Like, you know, like, that's just, it's not going to happen. You don't do that to your partners.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, so Madden and Microsoft are the NFL and Microsoft, and Madden and Microsoft have a long-standing relationship. The Xbox One, but prior to its launch, was lauding all of the integration with the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course this the first full year in the new season, they really spent a lot of time and spent a lot of money, quite frankly, in promoting the snap feature on the Xbox One, specifically with the NFL app on the system. And then when you saw Madden commercials, the ill-fated Colin Kaepernick commercial, at the end of that commercial, I believe that the console that they showed was Madden on the Xbox One. So it would be really, really strange to then see an NFL game, a licensed NFL game that's published by Microsoft, come out before Madden while they still have this relationship with EA and the NFL. So I sincerely doubt it. If I may ask a question, Rich.
Of course.
And I'll ask it to you first. What do you think the likelihood of whatever permutation of Joe Montana 16 releases, whether it be a Microsoft exclusive or not, what do you think the likelihood of it being released in time for the NFL season this year?
I strongly believe that we will not get anything this calendar year other than Madden Football on a console.
Okay.
I don't think you can do something this big and this bold without more legitimate information coming out. The number of people who would have to be working on this, the number of people who would have to be aware of this, the number of people that would have to do things to pull it off. We know how much leaks today from all of the different games. I mean, so much gets out. To me, it just, I don't think we see anything this year. If anything, I think you might get an announcement that a franchise will exist. But I don't foresee any way a console AAA football game comes out this year that's not Madden.
But, Rich, what if your strategy was, hey, I'm going to get a bunch of British people to work on this game. They don't care about football. They're not going to tell anybody anything. What if that was your strategy? No, I don't know if that's the case. Like, it's really hard to say, because I think I look at things like the model that was shown with showing sweat pooling and vasodilation in the ears of the player and the mocap with Joe Montana. Like, we've seen very little, but what we've seen has been, in my opinion, pretty detailed.
Right.
Like a pretty – it's like seeing the ending of a movie being filmed or something mm-hmm. like that. But that's – and you don't know what the movie's about, but you know that this is this big dramatic thing. But then someone comes and tells you, like, yeah, that's the only scene we've filmed. And maybe that's not the case. Like, I kind of side with you, Rich. Like, I feel like I want this game to come out, like, more than anything. Like, I want that – like, if I'm being completely honest, and I think a lot of people probably feel this way, and it's not because I – like, I love Madden, and I want Madden to be great, and I'm not one of those people who thinks, like, Madden sucks solely because of competition, because I think those guys work their butts off.
Mm-hmm.
I just want – I want this game to come out because it's something unique. It's something different.
Yeah.
And – I mean, making a football game with the Unreal Engine, like, when you think about it, when you look at the capabilities of it, it's a really cool proposition.
Sure.
Getting all the little pieces of that game right seemed like it would be very difficult, but it's because it's so bold in that sense, because it's trying to take on Madden and just kind of make that whole space better. Like, I want this game to come out this year more than anything. I want that OS post to be 100% true. What I think is going to be the case is I think it's going to be delayed, and I think it will probably be delayed until next football season. But I think they'll still get it out, because I think that they've put so much in it, and I think Joe Montana is kind of in this investing phase in his life. Like, he just started this this fund to do tech investing. So I feel like they can see it through. Although if IMFL and Joe's last fantasy app have not made it through all the way, but I still think it will see it at some point.
Here's the thing. Making video games is extremely difficult. Whether it's a simple game or a complex game, the more complex a game gets, the more difficult it gets. None of the people that you mentioned have any experience in putting together the incredibly layered, complex architecture that it takes to create a football game that plays. We have seen people try to build other football games. Remember you know, the black college football experience. Did you guys
BCFX.
Yeah. That
yeah, go Trojans.
Was very ambitious, but it was very bad. And
right. Except for the halftime. Halftime was great. You could play with your Guitar Hero guitar. That's
true. It was not bad because the people that were making it were trying to make a bad game. It's because to make a good football game is a wildly difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I'll say three sort of predictions. My number one sort of gut prediction ultimately is that nothing comes of this. Like if I had the proverbial gun to my head is that we will ultimately not be delivered a AAA quality football game from whoever is supposedly putting this together. Like that's my core feeling. However, let's say that, okay, something does happen, then my prediction is that at E3, an announcement is made that a new Joe Montana franchise will exist on consoles and that we will see something in the year 2016. Like, I don't, and then, you know, third would be in layer, you know, and sort of what could potentially happen. Third would be there would be some sort of, if it were going to come out in 2016, some sort of skinny, you know, digital football game that is not a Madden competitor, so to speak, but just something kind of like RBI baseball to the show. But ultimately, I don't think anything comes of it because I just don't think you could do something this big without more real info coming out. But I want to be wrong, and I want this game to exist as well. Cicero, your final thoughts on this before we call it a show.
All right. My prediction is Phil Spencer comes onto the stage on E3. He announces Joe Montana. Joe Montana comes out to thunderous applause. He says, "We are releasing a game this fall." It is Joe Montana, venture capitalist 16.
It's a sim venture capitalist
game. Yeah. Look, again, I'll refer back to my earlier statement. If it doesn't have licensed players, I don't care how good it looks. I don't really care how good it plays. It's not going to be compelling. That's what football is all about, is having the players, having your favorite teams, playing with those guys, and progressing with that. So that's it. It'll be great if it can, you know, spur competition, but I still probably won't play it.
So, Ryan, your official statement, your prediction, you're on the record. What's going to happen with Joe Montana football?
Oh, man. If it's not in the game, or if it's in the game and it's not in the game, I'm not game. That's Cicero's statement right there. Because he's an EA fanboy, man. I heard that about you. I think when it comes down to it, like, I want to believe that, like, I think what this game means for, like, the human spirit and, like, the world in general, like, the world needs a lot of healing. And I feel like Joe Montana football. No, I actually do. On some level, I feel like if you look at the sports gaming community, like the sim football community, these guys and women as well, like, they want this to come out so bad and they want it to be this OS post so bad that I will feel bad for them if it doesn't live up to exactly what that post delivered. And I think that there's some things that are just so much of a possibility that if they did actually happen the way that post said, like, it'll be probably one of the biggest, I can't think of a bigger video game kind of scandalous reveal outside of maybe like the original Xbox, before we all had smartphones and
right.
Everyone knew everything about everybody. So it makes it unlikely. So I'm with you. I don't think we're going to get anything at E3. I think that was smoke and mirrors. Not for anyone's, you know, I don't think Joe Montana was trying to, you know, string anybody along. I think he legitimately might be trying to now do a deal with Microsoft now that he's heard that his game's supposed to be released on the Xbox One. That may be the case. I think we'll see the game eventually, but I don't think it's going to be this year.
Well, all right. That is our official Joe Montana reporter on the streets, Ryan Lewis. playing the role I forget her name, but she was always on Brett Favre's lawn when he
Angela
was
Lansbury.
So Ryan, you are now been deemed the official correspondent of Joe Montana football, whether it exists or not. So we look forward to your continuing reports on this as the situation develops.
For some breaking news.
All right. Well, Ryan Lewis, we can follow you on Twitter at Ryan the Lou. That is LOW. Cicero Holmes, we can follow you in a number of places. So why don't you tell everybody how they can follow what you got going on?
So primarily, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at Stubby Stan. That's StubbyStan. That's a whole nother story for another day as to why that is my Twitter handle. You can follow the exploits of myself and my co-host Khalif Adams, who is at Kajakins, KAHJAHKINS, at our Twitter page for the Spawn On Me podcast at Spawn On Me. And additionally, if you want to listen to our show, you can find it on iTunes and Stitcher and SoundCloud and all the other great places, all the places that you'd find the Press Row podcast. And in addition to those places, you can also find us on our network home, esn.fm/spawnonme.
Good stuff. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for coming on. This was a lot of fun. How about we do this again sometime? What do you say?
Love to.
When Joe Montana 16 releases, Rich, have me back on.
All right. Ryan, it was great knowing you.
Yeah. Oh, man.
All right. Well, for Ryan Lewis and Cicero Holmes, I am Rich Grisham. Hope you enjoyed the show. I loved it. This was a lot of fun. It's always good to get some different perspectives from people, and I think tonight is a terrific example of that. So thank you both, gentlemen, for coming on. We will talk again soon. And everybody out there, thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Operation Sports, for making the Press Row podcast happen. You guys are fantastic. So until next week, we will talk to you again soon. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Press Row podcast brought to you by Operation Sports. We ask that you please subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher and the Windows phones. We also ask that you give us a rating. That really helps us a lot. We also ask that you please follow each of our panelists on Twitter, and they are as follows. Polygon's Owen Good at Owen Good. Pasta Padre's Brian Medai at Pasta Padre. Polygon Submit Sarkar at Submit Sarkar. That's Sports Gamers TJ Lowerman at That Sports Gamer. US Gamers Cat Bailey at The_CatBot. Operation Sports Chris Sanner at ChrisSNR. And Operation Sports Steve No at Steve_OS. And of course me, Rich Grisham at Rich Grisham. So thank you so much for listening to the show. We really appreciate it, and we really want to thank the great people at Operation Sports for making this show happen every single week. So thanks. We'll see you again next time.